Okay, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chaf Vav in Erevin, and we are finishing up today. It's been 4 days now that we've been in the second parak of Erevin and discussing the issue of Karfuf, and this is one final day where we get to speak about this topic of Karfuf. I told you in the Masechta it covers four dapim of Gemara in terms of Halach Lamaisa, so it's a lot of discussion in terms of how we deal with it nowadays. But we're coming at it from the perspective of the Gemara, and therefore we're going to continue focusing on it from the perspective of the Gemara in terms of Karpuf. I told you in terms of one basic rule, it's very straightforward. Anytime you have an area, an enclosed area that's a non-residential area, and it exceeds 5,000 square amos, so it's asur mid rabbanan to carry in such an area, even though min ha-Torah it's reshus yachid, but nevertheless you're not allowed to carry in such an area. In yesterday's daf, we discussed other ways of taking a non-residential area and correcting it and making it into a residential area. So there really are two methodologies that we talked about yesterday. One was minimizing the total square area and reducing it from above 5,000 square amas to below 5,000 square amas. Because once it's 5,000 or below of square amas, even if it's non-residential, that's fine. Meaning that's that the Chachamim allowed. It's only when it exceeds 5,000 square amas. So yesterday we talked about minimizing the total area, miut. And then we also talked yesterday about actual conversion. So one way of conversion, which goes back, takes us back to Daf Chav Dalid, is to make a breach, a pirtza on the wall, and to mend the pirtza. And so that's one way of converting it from a non-residential to a residential. What would be another method of doing it? So we talked yesterday about adding a wall. But when you add a wall, just to put a wall on top of a wall, so that the Gemara says that usually in halacha is viewed as a totally meaningless act. It's a pointless act. So we talked about how when you make your new wall, it has to be receded from the old wall within four tefachim of the old wall, so that the new wall is considered a new wall. And that was a lot of yesterday's discussion. And moved on to an interesting topic yesterday. We talked yesterday briefly about adding a wall so that you make a kinyan on the ger, on the property of a ger. In other words, its ownerless property, the ger died, and he had nobody to, no one's going to be yerush that property. And so now it's hefker, and how do you acquire it? Using a chazaka, a proprietary act. And we spoke yesterday about how about just building a wall on top of an existing wall, so that also the same issue of it basically is pointless, it basically has no halachic significance. And then yesterday we spoke very briefly about pitikra yorid v'sosem. We'll come back to that topic later in the Masechta. Amar Rebbe Zera, we're now on the top of Chafemid Beis, and we're two lines from the very top. And we continue now the discussion of a karfuf, and here we go back to a discussion that we kind of played with earlier on this topic, and that is a karfuf opening up into a chatzar opening up into a karfuf. So let's continue. I'm Rav Zera Modin b'karfuf shenei fratz b'mlo l'chatzar. What about a karfuf that's opened up totally into a chatzar? So I have two contiguous properties. I have a karfuf and I have a chatzar. And here, the karfuf is open up totally. Remember, the basic rule is that when I have a property opened up bimlo'o, nifrat bimlo'o, if it's opened up in totality to an area that you cannot carry into, so then it's going to be usur both A, to carry in that area, and B, to carry in the other area as well. So the karfuf shenifrat bimlo'o l'chatzar sh'asur. So here you have the karfuf. It's opened up to a chatzar, and says Rebbe Zera, that's going to be prohibited. Why? My time of avir chatzar miyasro. So he offers the following as an explanation. Well, you see, when that karfuf is opened up to a chatzar, essentially right now, the karfuf, I should have made this point clearly, now I'm going to make it right now, this particular karfuf has exactly 5,000 square amos. Meaning, while it was opened up into the chatzar, before we even looked at the chatzar, this karfuf had exactly 5,000 square amos, which means you're allowed to carry such a karfuf. However, Rabbi Zera says, if it opens up now into a chatzar, bimlo'o, in its entirety to a chatzar, so now that's no good. Now you can't carry in this karfuf. Why? Because now, because it's opened up in totality to a chatzar, so therefore the chatzar actually is going to augment to the total size of the karfuf, and now it exceeds 5,000 square amas. So Maskevla Rav Yosef hears this, he can't hear it. So v'chi avre hamutar lo osro. So I understand, airspace of a chatzar, first of all, it's a chatzar. A chatzar is a totally permissible area. So you want to tell me that by adding mutar airspace to your karfuf, you're now going to prohibit the karfuf? That's unimaginable. So Amale Abai Keman Kerabi Shimon. So, well, maybe he's hold. In other words, what did you assume? You assumed that he held like Rabbi Shimon, meaning we go back to a debate which we've touched on already a number of times. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to carry from a karfaf to a chatzar, from a chatzar to a gag. In other words, these unusual enclosures, as long as you have an item in these areas going into Shabbos, so you can carry an item from a chatzar to a gag, from a gag to a karfaf, and basically can rotate around in these unusual enclosures. So you're assuming like that we're holding like Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon, nami ha'ika avir makam mechitzos. The Gemara says, look, even if we hold like Rabbi Shimon, you totally misunderstood Rabbi Zera's point, and that is the following. That in order for what happened originally, I had a karfaf that was contiguous to a chatzar, but there was a wall over there. The interior space of the karfaf was exactly 5,000 square amos. Then the wall came down. So I'm not adding the airspace of the chatzar to the karfaf. No, of course not. You're right. In other words, we're not going to do that. However, there's the actual wall space, meaning that little bit of wall space that now fell down, obviously that's going to be added to the karfaf. So the only reason why the karfaf now becomes prohibited is because now that the walls fell down, now that the total area of the karfaf exceeded 5,000 square amos, that's why you can't carry in the karfaf. Good.
When did you say the wall space becomes part of the
chatzar? Yeah, so I mean, this is where you got to look carefully at the picture. I mean, you could have made that argument, I guess, because the chatzar has its own interior walls, so therefore the Gemara considers it part of the airspace of the karfaf. So the Amar of Chista karfaf shenifrats bemlawa lechatzar chatzar muteris. Right. Well, you want to say half of it belongs to one, half of it belongs to the other. Again, because of the configuration over here, right? You don't have a picture. Okay. Because of the configuration over here, it kind of looks more like the airspace belongs to the karfaf than it does to the chatzar. But yeah, points are well taken. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Chista karfaf shenifrats bemlawa lechatzar chatzar muteris. The karfaf aser. So chatzar my time is like yufufi. Look, as far as the chatzar is concerned, the chatzar still has its retaining walls. Meaning, remember, this is a case where the chatzar was wider than the karfaf. So when the wall fell down between the karfaf and the chatzar, from the karfaf's perspective, you have three walls. From the chatzar's perspective, you have four walls. Because looking from inside the chatzar, you are surrounded by three walls and the fourth side walls that are up against the karfaf. So good. So the Gemara says, so even if you're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, the whole issue over here has nothing to do with, we're not adding airspace of the chatzar to the karfaf, that's not the issue. The issue is that once the walls come down, and now once we've added the airspace of where the walls occupied, that's going to bring us over the tipping point. That's going to make our karfaf now more than 5,000 square amos. That's why it's going to be prohibited. Good. The Gemara says, Vazimnan de Mishkachala Ebcha. So the Gemara says, now sometimes you do find it to be opposite, meaning, what if, let's say, we're going to have the same side-by-side, chatzar and karfaf, but here, the karfaf is going to be wider than the chatzar. So now, and the airspace, and the wall between them breaks. Now what? So here, from the perspective of the karfaf, now you have four walls. From the perspective of the chatzar, you only have three walls. So, Ela Mishum Darminan, Ze Avir Mechitzos Miyasro, the Ein Ze Avir Mechitzos Miyasro. So, once again, we're going to go back and suggest that our Pshat is dead on. Meaning, it has nothing to do with the opening of one into another. That's not the issue. This is not a Rabbi Shimon Chachamim issue. This is a much simpler, once the walls come down, and once that airspace is now exposed, and once you add to the karfaf, that's the reason why the karfaf is going to be prohibited. And it has nothing to do with one being open to the other. Okay, good. And now, we finish our discussion of karfaf with two stories. Story number one. Ha'u bustina da'hafa samach l'guda da'padna. So our first story now, again, if you have a picture of this, it's extraordinarily helpful because I'm going to describe it, but if you're looking at a visual, it would be extremely helpful. Story number one is where you have a backyard enclosure that was right next to a apatna. Apatna usually is a term that's describing a palace. Here, palace just simply means it's a really big house. Okay, now, what's that play over here? So this bustana, right, Rashi describes that as a pardes, it's some sort of orchard that's behind this palace. It was originally circumscribed, it was hukaf ladira.
So the wall that surrounded it was Hukah Fadira. So in other words, it was larger than a Beis Asayim, the entire Pardes, but it was Hukah Fadira. It was enclosed for residential purposes. So far, so good. Wonderful. Here's the problem. Problem is, one of the walls came down. And not just one of the walls fell down, but the wall that sided the palace. Meaning the palace was actually the fourth wall of this Pardes, of this orchard. And now the palace wall fell down, and so the Gemara is discussing how are we going to view such an area? Because here we have now a Pardes area greater than 5,000 square amos. It had a Rishus HaYachid status, but it was Hukah Fladira, and now one of the walls fell down. So the the outer wall fell down. Outer wall just simply means the wall of the palace that was next, that was actually also serving as a wall for the orchard. So the Gemara says, okay, we should still be good, right? Why? Because the orchard is still surrounded by four walls. Meaning, what we can do now is creatively look at that palace and say, look, originally it was the outer wall of the palace that served as a wall for the orchard. That wall fell down. And not only enough, the entire palace now is being exposed to the orchard. It's still being surrounded by four walls because I'll just simply look at the other side of the palace, right? The interior wall of the palace, that other wall of the palace, if you will, the front door of the palace, can't that serve as the fourth wall for the orchard? Now, I understand that when we built our palace, that's an interior wall. That's not an exterior wall. But right now, because the exterior wall fell down, and because now when I'm looking at my fourth wall, I'm essentially looking at the other side of the palace. So can't that be served as the fourth wall? To which the Gemara says, no. So Amalei Rav Papi, Mishum Da'aso Mimulai, Amrisa Mila Mulyasa. Okay, you know how some of these barbs go from one Amar to another. You come from literally shortened people, therefore you say shortened things. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi goes on to explain this. So Rashi says, Mumulai Mekutami Beis Eli, Da'abaye Avud Rav Bibi. So first of all, Rav Bibi was a son of Abaye. And we know that Abaye was a descendant of Eli. And we also know, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Rashi quotes it very, very briefly, that Eli, because of the behavior of his sons, so he was cursed, and all of them are going to live short lives. They don't have longevity in their spiritual genes. So, it's one thing to have this genetic issue where you're not going to have longevity, and then to get insulted, you know, you come from short-lived people, that's why you say such things. Anyway, they were sharp to one another, and we've seen this already a number of times, so I don't really need to elaborate right now. In the meantime, however, what's the issue? You can't reassign a wall, meaning, if a wall is meant for its interior usage, you then can't say, I know that that wall was meant for interior usage, but right now it would really help us in order to circumscribe this pardes. Because the outer wall fell, and now I need the inner wall, so I just want to look at the inner wall in a totally new light. You can't do that. You can't just simply look at a wall and say, it was meant for interior usage, but now I need it to serve as a wall to my pardes, so we're going to look at it as a wall to my pardes. You simply cannot do that. And so therefore, he felt that it cannot do that. Therefore, what you have over here is you have a pardes, which is not, we're no longer surrounded by walls, and obviously it would be rabbinically forbidden to carry such a pardes.
Why don't you say the same thing as the last Gemara, that you were able to carry from this palace to
right,
you're allowed to do it.
Right.
The last time they just said it was...
In the previous case, the Karfaf was exactly 5,000 square amos.
But here you have no space issues, since you were allowed to carry between the two of them.
Before. Right.
Because there also the wall came down.
Right, but here it's greater than 5,000 square amos. So the only thing...
That's the case?
Yeah, I mean that Rashi says... Right, Rashi says, in this case, it was greater than 5,000 square amos. And so now, the only thing saving it is that it was Hukah Fladira, and one of the walls fell. Okay, and our final story. Now, this story is going to take us to the end of this discussion, and it'll take us to the middle of Chavav Amid Aleph. And the story goes like this. Hahu avarnika dehava l'Reish Galusa. Where the Reish Galusa had an avarnika. Can I describe it? I'll try. Again, once again, if you have pictures, it's very helpful. Basically, in the middle of his orchard, he had a tree with a little pavilion, almost like a tent built around the tree. And what they would do is they would sit underwards. It'd be a place of leisure. A gazebo, very nice. It's a gazebo basically built in the middle of his backyard. And again, once again, it was in his orchard. It was a pardes. And there were trees planted in the pardes. Wonderful. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, now you look at Rashi on the next Amud, and there's a lot of Rashi. Why? And the reason why is because Rashi really gives two different descriptions of what exactly happened over here and what exactly the case is over here. To streamline the whole discussion, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with Rashi's second pshat. Rashi's second pshat is the one that he personally prefers. And so therefore, when explaining the Gemara, I'm going to explain it according to Rashi's second pshat. So that, if we had more time today, I'd go over both, but right now we'll stick with number two. And basically what happens is the following. So there was this gazebo that he made in his backyard. Now, the backyard, originally in concept, was not for residential use. In other words, it was basically there to serve for the trees, but nobody was going to walk in and out of it. So it was hook of shalo, it was low hook of ladiro. Okay? And we're going to say that it exceeded 5,000 square amas, so therefore it has now carmela status. You're not allowed to carry in such an area. Good. So that's the starting point of this orchard in his backyard. But then when he placed the gazebo over there, the Reish Galusa really was out of the whole halachic picture, meaning the Reish Galusa was a political position. It was not sometimes occupied by Talmidei Chachamim, but not necessarily. You're going to see that really it's the Amoraim of his time, which were really arguing the point one way or another. Now, what's the argument? So one argument could be, look, it was Halohuka Fladira. We talked about how to convert Lohuka Fladira, Ladira. You got to actually make a conversion, which is break, make a pierza, add a new wall. Okay, but over here, what did you do? You added a little gazebo in the middle, and now you're going to say it's Hukka Fladira? That's crazy talk. The other argument's going to be, we added a little gazebo in the middle. It's now Hukka Fladira. We've converted it. Okay, so here the Amoraim are going to argue exactly this point. So Hanukh Mechitzal Gavai Abdin Labrailo Abdin, I'm sorry, Hawa Avarnaka, Dahavala Laresh Kalusa, Bebustina, Amalela Ravuna, Barchinana, Le Avid Martakanta, Dilamachar Nechol Nahama Asam. So the Reish Galusa says, look, you rabbis, figure it out. Meaning, make it so that I can, tomorrow on Shabbos, go to the gazebo, walk to my gazebo, and eat bread under the gazebo. How you make it happen? I don't care. Just make it happen. Make it happen. Take care of it. So he asked Rav Huna Bar Chinana to take care of it. So what did he do? Azo avid kana kana pachus mishlosha. So now again, I'm giving you the second pshat of Rashi, and the second pshat of Rashi goes like this. He made basically a pathway, a halachic legal pathway to walk from the house over to the gazebo. And what he did is he just basically made it's not really a fence, one rod after another rod after another rod, two lanes of it, so that they could walk now in between these rods. The rods serve as walls. How do the rods serve as walls? That we learned earlier in the Masechta, based on the principle of Lavud, because each rod was within three tachim of one another, and so a line of rods going from the house, another line of rods going around out of the house. And so now what we create is a pathway. Now, why did he create a pathway? It's very simple. Because he felt, look, the entire enclosure, when originally enclosed, was Lohuka Fladira. And just because we put a gazebo in the middle, that doesn't change the status. So in other words, this is a karpuff, and this is too big. It exceeds 5,000 square amas. And so therefore, you can't carry in such an area. And no gazebo is going to change that. So what we're going to have to do is create, basically, mechitzos, so that you could walk to the gazebo. Okay. That is what Rav Huna Bar Chinana did to ameliorate the situation. Azal Rava. Okay, now talk about a rabbinic fight. Azal Rava, Shalfinu. So Rava I love the scene. Rav Huna Bar Chinna is putting down, you know, one pole at a time, one rod at a time, and Rava from behind is taking out each rod. It really is just, it's a great picture. Now, obviously, probably didn't happen exactly as I'm describing it right now. Not as cartoonish as I'm describing it, but basically that's what happened. Now, to make the story just even a little bit better, also Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Yoshua, Naktinu Mivasrai. And then comes two Talmidim of Rava, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bar Chinna, Rav Yoshua. And not only, all Rava did was just simply take the rods, pick them up, and put it down. Meaning we don't need them. And his students, not only that, but took the rods and threw them away. so that nobody is ever going to, so he cannot bring them back. Okay. Now, the story goes from strange to even more strange. But before we get on to the next point. So basically, what's that issue over here? It's the following. I mean, you'll see it in the Gemara, but just to spell everything out before we get on. Rav is obviously of the opinion that we've converted. Meaning, once you place a gazebo in the middle of this area, so Rav is of the belief, is of the opinion, that this area now is converted from a non-residential to a residential area. Now, it's true, previously we were talking about making a pirtza and adding a new wall, but over here, Rava's argument is going to be, this is even better. Because over here, we actually put a gazebo right in the middle. I mean, what more can say that I'd like this for residential purposes than putting a gazebo smack in the middle? So this isn't just a fixing of the wall, this is actually building something in the middle that indicates I would now want to make this hukaf ladira. That's Rava's point. And as the Gemara is going to point out, what about Rav Huna Bar Chinna, who made the illegal walls in order to gain access to the gazebo? He obviously feels that's not going to change anything, meaning it was hukaf shalol adira. It remains hukaf shalol adira, even when I put the gazebo there. In order to change and assign and to reassign the walls, you actually have to do what we talked about. Knock down a wall, build a new wall. That's basically the machlokas between these Amorayim. Okay? And now, as I mentioned, the story gets a little bit stranger. Le-machar. Now, all this was on Friday. And now we fast forward to one day, which is now on Shabbos. So, le-machar, esve ravina le-rava. So now, Rava's going to get challenged, his position is going to get challenged on Shabbos. Now, all this is now the back and forth, now the debating takes place on Shabbos. So now, what's done is done. Meaning the rods have been removed, and so now you can't fix what has happened. So whatever conclusions they're going to arrive at through this debate, in other words, you're stuck with whatever consequences, with whatever was done. So there are going to be basically three challenges to Rava, and oddly enough, and I'm basically spelling out the Gemara, oddly enough, you know who also challenges Rava? His students, his own students, meaning Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Yeshua, also challenged Rava as well, even though yesterday they were helping Rava remove the rods. Okay, but, and that's of course where the story gets really strange. But, in the meantime, however, three challenges to Rava. Number one, Eisvei Ravina L'Rava, Ir Chadasha, if I have a new city, Modid in La Mishivasa, V'yishana, and if I have an old city, mechomasai, measure it from its wall. Now we're going to do surveying later on in Masechet Erevin, where we're going to have to figure out how to draw a line around the city, make the border of the city, so that we know where 2000 amos begin. Okay, and all the survey talk comes up later in the Masechet. Right now, we're just quoting a brisa. And the Brisa here says that if it's a new city, I measure from the outside house, and if it's an old city, I measure from the wall. Okay, chadasha, ezu yishana. Now, can we get a better clarification of what that means? Chadasha, shehuk v'losof uvesof yashva. Chadasha means that it was surrounded with walls, and then it was occupied. Yishana, an old city, yishana yashva losof hukva, is that first people settled, and then after people settled, then they built a wall around it. Now, Vahainami, so in other words, what do you see over here in terms of, without getting into all the details of serving and where we're measuring from, but the sense that you get very clearly is that when the wall goes around, whatever the reason was I put the wall around, that remains. So, Vahainami, Kuhuk Falosof Yashva. Here, Same story. Meaning with this little orchard of the Reish Galusa, originally when the wall was put around the orchard, it was for non-residential purposes. So now, you could just simply reassign it. Even if I do something, meaning in this Bryce we were talking about building houses within a walled city. Meaning first we built the wall, and then we built the houses. Here, first you built the wall, and then you built the gazebo, who cares? Meaning once the walls have a particular status, a particular assignment, it remains that assignment. So that is question number one against Rava. Rava, how can you just simply look at these walls anew and reassign these walls if you didn't actually change the walls themselves? Okay, that's number one. Number two. Amalei Rav Papa LaRava. Now the second challenge comes from Rav Papa to Rava. Yes, the same Rav Papa who at the top of the Amud was the one not only taking the poles away, but you know throwing them away so that we couldn't use them again. And meanwhile, now this is obviously where it gets strange. A day later on Shabbos, Rav Papa is actually challenging Rava. Let's say we build temporary walls for the construction. You know, when they do construction, especially inside. So what they do is they make walls so that they have privacy, okay? Even construction outside so that people don't see and whatever for whatever reason. They make walls for construction. Those aren't walls. Those don't have status of mechitza. Ama kevan delitzniyusa avida la have mechitza. A mechitza whose purpose is simply for tznius. And I'd venture to say, although the Gemara doesn't say this, in other words, and it really isn't meant to last and stay there, although, whatever, in our context, it obviously was. But anyway, but the point is that mechitzas which are made for the purpose of tznius, they don't have the status of mechitza. So here also, meaning those walls that were surrounding the orchard. In other words, those weren't there to protect the orchard. They were there just for the purpose of tznius, just simply as a way of giving some sort of privacy to that area. So once again, you can't say that has the status of mechitza. And we can't just simply look at these walls anew and say, okay, these walls have a new status. That's question number two. Question number three, the Amar Rav Huna Bereder of Yoshua, and yes, if you look at the top of the Amud, you will also find he was the other student of Rava who took the poles away, the ones that were set up by Rav Huna Bar Chinana, and he asks the third question, Amar Rav Huna, and he quotes the Amar Rav Huna Mechitza Ha'asui L'Nachas L'Shma Mechitza, that if I have Mechitzas where the only purpose of these Mechitzas is for storage. Now what exactly does that mean, that these Mechitzas are only for the purposes of storage? So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lanachas shelola dursham," meaning no one's going to live here. Ala lihishtamer mashi inechenasham. It's just for the purposes of protecting. In this case, it's going to be food. Those also don't have the status of mechitzas. Mechitzas shel lanachas loshma mechitza. How do I know that? Because when it came that time for Rava to make an Eruv for the town of Mechuza, so he made a Reuven for Mechuza, but only one municipality at a time. In other words, there was an entire wall surrounding Mechuza, and if there's an entire wall around Mechuza, he can ma'ariv everyone together in theory. However, right, which is, by the way, what we do, meaning in any Jewish community, what do? First of all, we create a giant Rishus HaYachid to enclose everybody, and then we all make one unified Eruv, so that I can carry from any Rishus HaYachid to any other Rishus HaYachid in our area. However, in the town of Mechuza, Rabbah didn't do that. He only was Ma'arev, each Chatzar independently, right, each Mavui, if you will, independently, even though there was one large wall that encompassed all around Mechuza. Why? Why didn't he make one total Eruv? So the Gemara explains, Kula Mechuza, Arsiasa, Mishum, Pere de Beiture. Because literally, fruit of the oxen. Meaning, that wall that surrounded all of Mechuza wasn't really a wall for Mechuza, it was a wall to store the food for the shorim, for the oxen. And so therefore, it's not a wall. It doesn't have the halachic status of a wall. Va'aper de beitura ke mechitza asuyel anachas damya. So that is a mechitza asuyel anachas, a wall for the simple purpose of storage and not for protecting people. So now, Rava just got attacked. Rava says, look, the backyard of the Resh Galusa, which originally was a wall, stood around the orchard. So because the Resh Galusa put a gazebo over there, so Rava thought, we've now reassigned the area. And the area now is Hukaf Ladira. And now, one, two, three questions were laid against Rava on Shabbos. Meaning after Rava took away those rods were there to allow the Resh Galusa to walk from his house to the gazebo. He took them away. And now three questions were asked against Rava. To which the Gemara says, so Kari Alaihu Resh Galusa. So Resh Galusa doesn't get upset with Rava, meaning, well, who are you going to blame Rava? You could blame him, but I mean, obviously he felt how he felt. Resh Galusa was really most upset with Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua. Because what did they do? On Friday, they followed Rava around and they removed the rods. On Shabbos, there they were asking questions against Rava. So Resh Galusa says, quoting Apostle Yirmiyahu, Chachamim Hema Lahara Ulahetiv Lo Yadu. Yeah, they're Chachamim, they know how to create problems. But Lahetiv Lo Yadu. But they don't know how to make they don't know how to make anything good. So great. So on Shabbos, here we are on Shabbos, nothing we could do about it. You know how to create problems. Yesterday you had no problem removing the rods and putting them away, and now obviously here we are again. So essentially, right, it comes out from this whole discussion, does not sound like the Gemara agrees with Rava's logic. And that if you want to reassign a wall, you have to do what we talked about both on Chafei and on Chavdal. Either break the wall or make new walls. But this idea of just simply adding does not seem to pan out.
The benefits of work stuff, I mean, like putting the rods,
right? Huh?
Putting the rods without work.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. In other words, making mechitzah is using the principle of lavud, as we talked about earlier. Okay, we're now continuing in the Gemara. We're on Chavav Amud Aleph. We are now. So, we had a discussion about whether or not this is only allowed under the circumstances of Shayara, right? That's what we talked about at the end of the first parak. Or whether or not it could be used more globally. That was the debate. I forgot what the conclusion was, to be honest with you. But you're right, though. There are those of the opinion that this can only be used under a caravan circumstance. Amar Rabbi Elisha Mati Meir Velazar Filo Beis Kor. Now, remember that our Mishnah, now if you don't remember, that's fine, because it's been a long time since we saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah was back on Daf Chav Gimel. The Mishnah brought in Rabbi Eli, who quoted three things I heard strange from Rabbi Eliezer. And when I say I heard it from Rabbi Eliezer, it may be that he didn't even hear it directly from Rabbi Eliezer, but there were three strange things that he heard. Amar Rabbi Eli Shamati, no, he heard it, no, from the Mishnah, it sounds like he heard it directly from Rabbi Eliezer. Shamati Rabbi Eliezer v'afilu kebeis kor, that even if the size of the enclosure is kebeis kor, that would be fine. That's one strange thing I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, where we know, we've been discussing now for the last 4 days, that if it's a beis asayim, beis asayim is 2 sa'a. A beis kor, 30 sa'a. So in other words, the maximum amount of area, of non-residential area, which is enclosed, where you can carry in, is only if it's 5,000 square amas. He was arguing, at least not arguing, he heard from Rabbi Eliezer, it can even be a kor, it could even be 30 sa'a, and that would be fine, even though it was non-residential. That's the first strange thing he heard from Rabbi Eliezer. And then we're going to go over in just a moment the other things that he heard from Rabbi Eliezer, which were also strange. If you remember the Mishnah, he says, I looked around to any other student to Rabbi Eliezer. I wanted someone to corroborate with me that this is in fact what Rabbi Eliezer said. And he concluded, I couldn't find anyone to even corroborate the story that that's what Rabbi Eliezer said. Masisin Deloche Chananya, now the Gemara points out, our mission is not following the position of Chananya, Ditanya, Chananya, Omer, V'afilo Arba'im Sa'a, Ke'asrat Yeshua Melech. Even if it's 40 Sa'a, says the position of Chananya. So in other words, the core is 30 Sa'a, and Chananya says a core is 4, I'm sorry, no. Even if it's more than 30 Sa'a, even if it's 40 Sa'a, you still can carry in such an area. Now again, by the way, we're really looking at two positions which is not the accepted halacha, but in the meantime, however, we just want to know, is that the same? So the Gemara says, Am Rav Yochanan Shnei Mikra Chadash. Actually, the two of them, even though they disagree in terms of the actual number, 40 saw, but they actually are deriving it from the same pasuk. Shenem Ravi Yishayo lo yasa chatzer tichonak siv ha'ir v'karinin chatzer mikan lasrat yishamach shayu kayaros beinonis. So the Gemara says that you see that the Asrat Yishamach, literally the street of the king, is like a ayara beinonis. It's like a small town. So b'may kamif lagi marsav ayaros beinonis havyan beis korim ansav memsav havyan. So the Gemara says is that it's either going to be 30, and they're debating in terms of how exactly, what exactly is the size of a Asrat Yishamach? Is it 30 or is it 40? Now, Vishayah might buy Hasam. Now, the Gemara wants to know, Yishayah, what is he doing over there? So, Amar Rav Bar Bachan, Amar Rav Yochum, Amar Shechalach Chizkiyah, Vahalach Yishayah, Vahoshi Vishiv, Al Pischo. We know that Chizkiyah got sick, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's ridiculous of me, right? The Navi tells us. The Navi tells us that Chizkiyah got very sick. The Gemara explains that part of the illness is the fact that he did not want to have children, as he knew b'nevuah that the children that he were going to have, specifically his son, was going to be a wicked king. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is, that's not your issue, that's my issue. Your issue is to have the children. I'll figure out the rest. Anyway, v'halach Yishayahu, but meanwhile, our little snippet of the whole incident is that Yishayahu hoshiv yeshiva pischo. So what did Yishayahu do in terms of helping out the refuah shlema of the king? So he placed the yeshiva at the entrance. Now, practically speaking, I don't know how often you could employ such a methodology, but if you have somebody who's ill, and not just somebody, but specifically a Talmud Chacham, because the story is about Chizkiyahu, and we know he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, so the one method of refuah shlema is to place the yeshiva at the entrance of his house. So the Gemara says, "V'lav milsi d'ma asi le'aguri beis satan," and the Gemara says, and maybe our conclusion over here in this particular scenario is not a good conclusion. Maybe we're just looking to upset the satan, meaning by placing a yeshiva over there, the satan is not gonna frequent in a yeshiva, and maybe it's just a way of removing the malach hamavis. Okay. Anyway, that is. But in the meantime, however, once again, the first strange thing that Rabbi Eli heard from Rabbi Eliezer is that it can even be 30 saw, even if it's lohuka fladira, and I can carry inside of it. Okay, that's one strange thing, and by strange I mean it is not the halacha. Two. Okay, a topic which we haven't really explored yet in the Masechta, we're going to discuss it at length later on in the Masechta, and that is the following. In order to unify everybody, everyone has to contribute a piece of food, specifically bread, into a basket and to place the basket into somebody's house. And this is the process of Eruv, and this is the process of unification in one given chatzer. Good. Everybody needs to contribute, without any exception, meaning the whole purpose of unification is by everybody making contribution. What if somebody didn't? What if somebody forgot? Okay, so now, what is the method of solution? So it's what's called bitul harishas. In other words, I have, obviously, rights to the chatzer property, to the communal chatzer property, and you could do this on Shabbos itself. We're going to talk about this later on. You can be mevatel your rishus. You simply say, I relinquish my right to the chatzer. Good. In other words, in Eruv, it doesn't work. Eruv, you need everybody. It's all or nothing. So, fine. And this is what's called Beto Rishos. Now,
when you apply the principle of applying vendor somebody who is not here, these people who are making the error, right? It could be this guy's
Zachel Adam Shalom Befanav, which is what we do.
Right.
Correct. Obviously they were every week actually collecting.
I know, but I'm saying doing that, doesn't they just
thank you
use that function and make
yes, idea? Yes, but it's not gonna, in other words, it would work, but in this particular scenario that's not what they did. They were just expecting everyone to give and one person forgot. So now he's mevatel's rishos. Now here's the discussion. Meaning once he's mevatel's rishos, so that means that he cannot transfer from his house to the chatzar. Right, because he's given up his rights. Now, in the Mishnah, if you go back to the Mishnah, here's another thing I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, and that's the following. Now, he cannot transfer from his house to the chatzar, but everyone else can. Okay, so now we're going to discuss this. So the Gemara points out, we have a Braisa, and the Braisa says that once he's Mevatel Rishus, so that means he cannot, and they cannot, transfer item from his house to the Chatzar. So Amar Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshet, Lo Kashya, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan. What kind of discrepancy are you presenting to me? We know it's a Machlokas. In fact, we know that it's just a question of when you're Mevatel Rishus, what exactly are you being Mevatel? Are you being Mevatel your house? In other words, let's start off like this. You're being Mevatel your rights to the Chatzar. That's a given. Are you also, basically, you're removing yourself from the Chatzar. Are you also removing yourself from your house? Meaning, are you basically saying, I don't have rights to the Chatzar and I don't have rights to my house as well? Meaning, is it a total siluk? So what Rabbi Eliezer is arguing is, yeah, it is. In other words, so that would allow not only people to transfer from their house to the chatzar, it would also allow every other member of the chatzar to transfer from your house to the chatzar, because you've removed yourself in total. To which the chachamim say, no, that's not what happened. You're removing yourself from the rights of the chatzar, but you're not removing yourself from the rights of your house. So therefore, nobody's allowed to transfer from the house to the, from your house to the chatzar. And the Gemara spells all this out. Kisha timtzalam ledivrei Rabbi Eliezer mavat rishus chatzero rishus beito bitel. Comes out that according to Rabbi Eliezer, what were your mavato? Your rights to the chatzar and the rights to your very own home. And the Rabbanan mavat rishus chatzero rishus beito lobitel. And the Chachamim say, no. When you are Mevatel Rishus, you're only doing what you need to do, which is, I'm removing myself from the Chatzar. So therefore, when we're talking about unification of the Chatzar, of course it would have been better had I contributed before Shabbos. But now, here we are on Shabbos, I didn't contribute. So all I have to do is just remove myself from the Chatzar, I'll do that. Remove myself from my own house? I'm not going to do that. So according to the Chachamim, a person simply will only be Mevatel what he needs to be Mevatel, no more than that. And that means, according to the Chachamim, you obviously can't transfer from your house to the Chatzar, because you no longer have right to the Chatzar. And according to the Chachamim, neither can anyone else in the Chatzar, because that house is still yours. Your house is still your house. Okay, good. So that is the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And the Gemara to that says, Pshita. Meaning, that's a lovely explanation. Isn't that the only explanation? Meaning, what other conclusion could you arrive at? So, Amar Achva, Anav Ravuna Brachina, Tirgama, Lo Nitzucha, El Alachamisha, Sheshurim Vechatzer Echad. So the Gemara says, well, here's maybe where it wouldn't be so obvious. Let's say you have five people living in one Chatzer, Vishachachach, and Mayam Velo Erev, and one person forgot to make an Erev, to contribute to the Erev. Ledivir Rabbi Lazar, Keshum Avat Rashus, and Tarach Levat, Lechol Echad Echad, Le Rabbanu Keshum Avat Rashus, so Tarach Levat, Lechol Echad Echad. Okay, here's what's not so obvious. Good. Now that we know that there's an idea of Bitul Rishus, and now we know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, what are you being Mevatel? Everything. My rights to the Chatzar, the rights to my own very own house. So in other words, from Rabbi Eliezer's standpoint, your Bitul Rishus is a total relinquishment. Meaning you're basically saying, okay, I made a mistake, I should have contributed, here I am now relinquishing, I relinquish everything. Good. And according to the Chachamim, no, it's a much more tempered relinquishment. It is, okay, fine, I'm removing myself just from the Chatzar, but I'm keeping rights to my house. Now the Gemara says, we're going to go down to step two. Now we just discussed what you're relinquishing. Now the second part of the discussion is, who do you need to relinquish to? According to Rabbi Eliezer, because you're so grandiose in the way you're relinquishing, you don't have to speak to every single person of the Chatzar. And you don't have to say to him, hey, you know, I'm giving up my rishus. Hey, you over there, I'm giving up my rishus. In other words, because it's such an absolute bittul, so therefore you just say it once, And you don't have to go to every single person. According to the Chachamim, because it's so tempered, because I'm only giving up rights to the chatzar, but not to my house, according to the Chachamim, I got to go to every single member of the chatzar and say, I'm mevatel my rishus, because it's almost like surgery. Meaning you're only being mevatel from the chatzar, but not from your house. And so therefore, you have to go to every single person and speak to every person. Gemara says that's another application of this debate, not only what you're being mevatel, but who do you need to go to.
This is only for carrying rights?
And this is for prayer.
Like the people who come and take things from your property, it's not that you're relinquishing ownership of the...
No, it's just for carrying. This is all specific for the purpose of carrying. Okay, now the Gemara says, and just to wrap this up, and here we have a brisa of five people who were in one chatzer, and one person forgot to contribute to the eruv. He doesn't have to go to everybody in the eruv. I'm sorry, he doesn't have to go to everybody in the chatzer. So keman ke Rabbi Eliezer. So that sides with the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Kahana Masti Hachi, Rav Tiv Yumi Masti Hachi, Kamana Zlahad Tanya. Another version of this, basically the same discussion. Again, the Braisa. Hey, Shishruim Bechatzer Echav Shachachem Echam Ehem Velo Yiv Kishu Mevatu Rishus Rein Yitzach Levatu Rishus Lechol Echav Echad. He doesn't need to be Mevatu to everyone. Kaman. I'm Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. I'm Rav Sheshus Kaman to Rabbi Eliezer. That is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. I know we just have a little bit to go before we finish the perek. We'll finish the perek tomorrow. So quickly, just to recap our discussion for today. Today, once again, we start off the discussion today about if I have a karpa of exactly 5,000 square amas, and there's any addition, even the airspace of the wall, that's going to now bring it us over 5,000 square amas, and now it becomes rabbinically prohibited to carry in such an area. And then we talked once again today about reassigning. And according to Rava, the proposal was made that we're able to reassign walls based on the fact that we actually built a gazebo inside the residential, inside this area. And by doing so, you're reassigning the walls. The Amorayim all jumped on Rava, and it seems that that's not going to help as well. And then the end of the perek is finishing up with three strange things that Rabbi Eli heard from Rabbi Eliezer. And even these things, he couldn't find anyone else that would agree with him. And we've gone over the first two things that he said. Number one, that I can carry in a non-residential area, even if it's a core, even if it's 30 sa'a. And number two, is that if and when you're mevatel your rishus, you not only mevatel your rights to the chatzar, but you're also mevatel the rights to your very own home, which means then that people, everyone else in the chatzar, can carry from the house, from your house, into the chatzar. And once again, that's something that we do not accept lahalacha. Lahalacha, we accept that you're only mevatel your rights to the chatzar, not the rights to your house. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll quickly finish up the perek, and we'll start the third perek of Erevin.